to stop that immediately because Steve is a music person, and we can't play that. I think it's like you know, some type of Muzak or something like that. We're gonna go ahead and you know what? This I know he would appreciate. So let's start this. And see, that gets the blood going. That's what we're talking about. That's how we need to start this show. Some good old Texas music right there. Just kind of kick it off and get right. Steve Brown, one of my absolute favorites, mostly because you're very positive, and I need positivity around me, Steve, to balance out, well, the darkness. I need something's got to balance out the darkness, because left to my own accord, I shift over into the very, very, the darkest of dark. So I absolutely appreciate you, and I can't wait to kind of get into, we're just going to catch up in front of a bunch of people. So that's this will be fantastic. Do the audience a favor and introduce yourself, if you will.
I'm Steve Brown. My role is I am the executive director of HR for La Rosa's Pizza. If you want to have fun, I'd love to do this. Our Twitter handle is at La Rosa's Pizza. It's LaRosa's Pizza. And if people who are listening, tweet to them and tell them that you're listening to DTHR. It would be great. We're a regional pizzeria. Have about 67 locations, and we're a tradition here in Cincinnati.
And you've got to come down to Summer Brand Camp in June. Somehow, some way, I've got to get you connected to that whole bit. And I know that we might have even talked about it in years past, but you would, if there is a group of people in the world that you would love, restaurant HR people, and all in one area. Marketing, HR, recruiters, all in one area, about 300 people. You would love that. So I'm going to make a note and actually connect you with Joni. You got to do that.
Yeah, I've heard only good things, and it's exciting because I like to hear people being creative, first of all, in HR, and secondly, to do it in the restaurant industry is huge.
Yeah. Right, a lot of innovation comes out of the restaurant industry. I don't know if they get the full credit for some of the things that get done over there, especially in HR. Let's do top of mind. What's keeping you up? What's keeping you up these days?
Oh, I think a variety of things. I think it's more industry specific in HR than it is specifically in my role. And that's, you know, I think we keep missing the opportunity for HR people to be connected. I just keep meeting person after person after person who says, well, I didn't know that existed. I didn't know that was there. And I'm just talking about resources in general or conferences or blogs. It's still very challenging in our field that people try to do this on their own when they don't have to.
What's the status of HRNet these days? Because you had built a wonderful, kind of an underground, not so underground, network of people where you kind of talked openly, shared resources, et cetera. What's the status of that these days?
It's growing. It grows more when I get to meet people and tell them about it face to face. Some of the you know, gee, I'm on it type of thing. I get a few people, but I just sent out the message for this week today, and it went out to 6,600 people globally, which is just incredible. I'm very thankful. But it's a chance to get resources in front of people and as well as let them have a conversation and get questions answered and promote their events. It's a great way to connect each other, and I love doing it. Plus, I get to write a song that makes fun of HR. And who wouldn't like that?
And those songs are actually really good. I mean, not only they're just not really creative. You've been doing them for a while, and I mean, there's a collection there. There's a coffee table book here, Steve. Right?
Yeah.
There's a coffee table book
someday.
With all, a collection of all the lyrics. So I want to bounce something off of you. In the research we did in January for Key Interval, one of the things I kind of came to grips with is that, you know, I've been blogging about the space for, let's say, about a decade. And one of the things that confronted me is that I've been wrong a lot. And dealing when you're you know, so it's humbling when you're doing research and you're talking to practitioners, you've cut out, you know, the echo chamber, you've cut out the vendor marketing noise, and you're talking to people like yourself that do the job day in and day out. And a lot of things that I think that people think are true about HR because of blogs that they read or maybe even vendor marketing material that they might read, it portrays HR in a certain way. And I tell the story now that when you watch CNN or MSN or Fox News, what you get, if I could just kind of take all those newscasts and bubble them up, you got there was car crashes, somebody got murdered, there was jihadist activity, banks were robbed, corporate fraud, some infidelity, a little bit of weather, a little bit of sports, and it's done. Like, that's the formula. And that's not my life. That's not your life. But that's
right.
What's on news about our lives. That's the portrayal of our lives. In some ways, that's the portrayal of HR. It's all negative, right? And very little is actually true about the real practitioner kind of a you know, experience, if you will. And so when you read the 450 HR recruiting blogs in the world, what you get is a sense of just everything's going to hell in a handbasket. HR is retarded. Everything they're doing is wrong. Get rid of your HR department. Like, it's all portrayed in a certain way. And when you talk to people that are actually doing the job, that's not their reality. So, first of all, am I starting to kind of get it now? Am I starting to kind of come around and understand what's going on?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's a little challenging when you read the stuff that is by far negative. In fact, I heard one person say, well, if I write something negative, it jumps more on the SEO and I get more reads and I get more of that. Honestly, I'll just be very candid. If you're only out there to get your brand, then that's cool. That's your choice. I'd rather see people try to move the profession forward. And there are things that are positive. There's nothing wrong with being critical. There's nothing wrong with saying, here's some gaps and how to fix them. But people want to hear positive things. They do. I get more feedback from blogs, and I appreciate you saying I'm positive, but it's not an act.
Yeah, right.
You know,
right.
This is who I am. This is how I practice. This is how I live. People want to be engaged, both HR people and team members in organizations. They want to have somebody, you know, who is positive with them, because the majority of our systems, including HR, are built on what not to do instead of how to do something. When I talk to practitioners and consultants and vendors who have it turned around and say, hey, I'm going to do these things to move things forward, people are in line. And it's starting to get more traction. One thing I'm noticing, William, is the people who are constantly negative are becoming less and less relevant. It's like the CNN or the Fox News that goes, you know, extreme, 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 and you're missing the people that are doing the things every day that want to make things better for people.
Yeah. Well, it's you know, you're missing your audience. Like, this is the conversation
right.
I'm having with vendors right now. Is like, first of all, if you subscribe to what's being blogged about, and your own marketing noise or other vendor marketing noise out there, then not only are you just part of the problem, but okay, so there's that, and sometimes that kind of emotionally connects with somebody, but really you're just missing the audience. And that's the game. If you're trying to sell software into HR, the more you talk negatively about what's going on in HR, that's not what they live. That's not actually, they don't wake up, that's not their life. So when you talk about that and you portray yourself in that way, they recognize that you don't get it. They recognize that you don't understand their day in and day out. And I think this reversal of where we are isn't easy because people, you know, again, if you write the seven tips or the seven things that are wrong in HR article, you know, if you wrote that 5 years ago, you might have gotten clicks and shares and comments. You can't write that article today. If you write that article today, no one clicks on it.
Right.
You know, because it's not over the top. Go ahead.
No, I think what's interesting is when you say seven things that are going well, it's getting traction. You know, some of the stuff that happened in the past was deserved. I don't think we should shy away from that. There was a time when it was difficult and not something that I would say was popular about being in human resources. But I think an opportunity for us to change is I talked to tons of people all over the country. And I hear this often, well, you know, senior management won't let me do this and senior management won't let me do that. And my thing is that then you have that opportunity to change it. You have that opportunity to say, this is what I'd like to see HR be. And senior management, if you're not in that, is looking for it. They're so desperately wanted to work out well because people are, you know, what make things happen. Not things, not processes, but people.
Where do you get some inspiration? So occasionally when you get down or, you know, have a bad day or whatever, what's your well that you run to?
That's funny. I run to people, my friends on social media. People have been very gracious and open. I love to call people and just talk to them. And almost every night when I drive home on my commute, because I have a long commute from my office, I will call somebody and just catch up and see how things are and hear about their views on things. So having those relationships probably drive me the most. Without those, I think it would be hard. You know, just to do it electronically only goes so far. So be able to talk to them and say, hey, what's happening and, you know, what's new? And I wait to hear what's new. I just don't jump to an agenda. We talk about life and every day. I do it every day because that way I'm constantly plugged in with everybody.
What's great about that is I think that, you know, there's some people have a brand drop-off. There's the, you know, internet version of a person and then the real-world version of a person. And that's not everybody. I mean, you know, that's not everybody. And again, I think it's big enough for all of us to do whatever we want. And but sometimes it's just nice to hear their voice and their takes and their ups and downs. Like you call, I'll talk, say, Jason Seiden, because I talked to him yesterday. You know, he was on a high. Like he had just had a fantastic meeting and it was just great to hear his energy in his voice, you know,
right.
And you can't get that over, you know, Twitter or email, right?
Right. Yeah. And I think, you know, the more, it's funny, I was just at the SHRM regional business meeting where all the state directors were there and I was there as part of my MAC role and I saw it happen in front of me. The people who are, when they understand that other people want to be with them on purpose, it's just, you know, like wildfire when it catches on. Passion is real. You can't fake it.
Yeah.
So, you know, and it's not a constant, I'm going to do this for an hour while I'm there. I'm on this with you all the time. And I know that that's more of an exception and an approach to people, but people want that hole filled. They want to be able to say, this is what HR could be for me. It's not just a profession, it's people. And, you know, I don't get enough of it, you know. If I could be around large groups of people all the time, I would.
Truth. Take me into kind of a recent HR failure that you've had and overcoming it. Take me into something you've tried. You know, this is the throwing things against the wall, seeing what sticks. Bad idea. You know, go back to the drawing. And I know you experiment. So take us into something that you thought was going to be a good idea and blew up in your hands.
I'm doing a lot of things at work on culture development, and I'm trying something that's a little more granular. We've tried the overarching program approach, and those have good bones, but what we're finding out in a good way is It's interesting. I love talking about Joe Gerstanton diversity because Joe gets it, and I learned so much from how he approaches it. That, you know, we're all diverse and unique, and we sometimes forget that. I'm trying to, as odd as this sounds, develop more nonconformity to get consistency. Because if we're working with a 16-year-old, they're going to have different experiences and needs than they are than the person who's been here 10 years. So we can't keep trying to do a one-size-fits-all approach. And we've tried it. We've had some success with it. But doing HR more on an individual basis is gaining more traction. Again, some of it is simple as showing up and paying attention to people, coming into a pizzeria without an agenda just to see the great people that do the work for us and take care of our guests. It's a lot of time. It's a lot of energy. But what we're seeing is people responding more than being dictated to, managed, led under certain parameters. It's, you know, taking the time to see people for who they are. It's also hard to teach because there's not a good training program for that. A lot of it is very experiential. So we're having hits and misses with it, some successes, some failures, but it's working.
Do you believe or subscribe to the thought that there is culture singular or microcultures, like there's a part-time culture, a full-time culture, a nighttime culture, a daytime culture, a store 103 culture versus, you know, 29, store 29 culture? Like, first of all, do you think there's just one macro, or do you think there's a whole lot of micros that make the macro?
I think it's all micro. I think there's macro values, but there's microcultures. So there are things in all organizations, they say this is what we believe and this is what we practice, and those can go through every part of the organization, but microcultures are a fact. It's not something that, do they exist or not, they're a fact. One of the things we're trying out is this, is, you know, if this is the umbrella under something for a program, what are the facets that work for you within your culture? And I've tried that, in fact, just this week with my VM, and they're like, hey, I can do that. You mean I can take this and put a little of my spin on it? I'm like, yeah, that's great. They're not destroying it or ruining it. And it's interesting. They like that freedom. They want the structure that's overarching, and then they want to work within it. And to me, that's how performance happens anyway. So I would say microcultures even go down to department level, not just location level. You know, finance is a lot different than marketing.
Yeah, it turns out. And thank God for it. Do you hire for culture or do you hire for competence?
That's a great question. I think we hire for competence. You have to learn the culture. And it's interesting. We just talked this week about how do you train your team members. And in the past, it was, you know, what's the right way to train your team members? And I said, I'm going to try something different and say, how do you do it? Just tell me. And boy, it was a huge spectrum, really cool to learn. And I thought, wow, with that, I said, so if we give you parameters that these things need to be consistent in your organization, could you train to that? And I said, yeah. You know, and having those conversations, William, with our people as business people instead of roles, that's where you get the culture. You know, they're the ones that make this come to life. So I think that has to be modeled, not just told. So culture happens after I'm there. It's hard to hire to a culture. Plus, you can do the recruiting dance. You know, this, hey, we're great. Hey, we're this. Hey, we're that. And they come in, they have that first bump in the road, which they will. They'll go, hey, that wasn't the interview. What's up with that?
And you told me you guys were cool.
Sorry, that wasn't cool at all.
Think of working a triple shift. Not cool. We're all about work-life balance, except on the weekends.
I think.
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you're fine.
Do you believe that there's a DNA of a great manager? Because I didn't come up through restaurants, so you came up through food service. I came up through retail. And And you could tell, like, everyone starts at kind of the doer level in retail. But you can kind of tell, like, you can tell who's going to be on the track. If they stick with it long enough, they're going to be a great leader. They're going to be a great manager of retail staff. Is that true in restaurants? Is that true? Have you seen that kind of play out when you hire a Laura or a Timmy? You're like, you know what? They need to do the job for a year or so, but this person right here is going to be a general manager. They're going to be a store manager or whatever.
I think we see it. Some of it is, you know, being on the front line and having that hands-on experience. We're very fortunate at La Rosa's. 99%, and maybe a little higher than that, of our managers come from within. It's the first company I've worked for where we promote from within on purpose. So we grow our own. And so people start out as a dishwasher or a salad person or a host or a server. And they can have a career and work their way up into assistant manager or general manager. So, yes, I think you can see it. I think the biggest change I'm seeing over time is teaching people approach. Because the functional side of the job, man, they can get it quick. And they can do it and kill it and do incredibly high volumes and take care of our guests. Where we have an opportunity in HR to really truly develop our people is teaching them approach. And how do I approach other people? How do I approach challenges? How do I approach opportunities? I don't think enough HR people teach approach. Now that we're doing that, we're seeing better results.
You know, I saw a phrase yesterday that I really liked, and they called it the sarcastic generation, which is kind of a mixture of a couple of generations, but it's the people that kind of thrive in a sarcastic way. And I definitely subscribe to that because I'm super sarcastic. But getting me to generations, getting me to think about generations is like the definition of ambition is being redefined. And what mm-hmm. I thought or what my father thought of the word ambition is not what I thought. And what I think is not going to be what my kids think, et cetera. And that's okay. That's life. But you're on the front lines. You see people every single day. You know, take us into the generations. Like what you see right now, do you see ambition? Do you see it as the same ambition that maybe you subscribe to, or is it playing out differently?
I see ambition differently, but I think one of the challenges is we keep trying to separate our generations instead of saying that we're on a continuum of people. I learned from the 16-year-old. My son is 17. He just got his first job. And I hear what he has to say, and we ask him every night, you know, what did you learn and what's this? And when people say, well, this generation, honestly, anybody in our generation who are the older people, if we say that, we should, you know, have to pay somebody $100 because, you know.
Put it in the curse jar.
That's right. Somebody said it about us, you know, and we're like, we'll never do that. Well, we've become that generation instead of saying, wow, I'm seeing things through a different perspective. Some of the things that the younger people I'm seeing are looking for are adding value right away. Well, that's a bad thing, right? Or wanting to be able to contribute and share ideas. And yes, there may be issues of advancement and stuff like that, but they want to be connected and know that they're part of the success of the whole. That's an incredible attribute. Whereas our generation was more self-serving, 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 me, 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 me. They're more like us. The individual's in there, but they want to see the group succeed and be collaborative and be social. And doggone it, they want to enjoy their work. What a shameful thing that is. You know, in sarcastic, I love that you said that. I think you need to meet people where they are. I think too many HR people don't. You come in across as the HR person instead of coming across as Steve or William. If you come across as the person, you can meet each other very, very bottom shelf. And when you do that, you can have fun, you can laugh, you can care, you can cry, you can hug. All those things are allowed. And employees are looking for that, especially the newer employees. They want to connect with you. They don't want to be overshadowed by you. They want to be a part of you. And I love that.
Yeah. I love the phrase meet them where they are. I use that a lot with software vendors. At the end of the day, with users, you got to meet them where they are. If they want to watch, videos to learn your software, you got to meet them where they are. If they want a tutorial and they want you to be in a classroom, you got to meet them where they are. Turns out. Let me get your take on training with this. With the folks that come in on the front line right now, what are you seeing that's effective? Is it more classroom? Is it video? Is it mobile? Is it experiential? Like, how do we get them? Hey, we got the raw talent. We like them. We're gonna teach them the culture. But how do we get them trained up on the skills of what they have to do to be successful in the job?
I met yesterday with a good friend of mine. She's on Twitter, Julie Stevens Doyle, and
Yeah, of
she's the
course.
head of HR for the Bistro Group, which is Fridays, McAllister's, and some other good restaurant concepts. And she said the coolest thing that I'm stealing in training is that they do show review. And so it's watch what I do. Oh, sorry, show do review. I'm going to show you what you're doing. I'm going to let you do it, and then I'm going to check and see how you're doing. So it's a matter of how, if you want to do that through video, if you want to do it through mobile, I think the forum isn't as critical as the experiential side because people learn from doing and people learn from failing. So just making sure that I'm teaching you and then I'm allowing you to do it, not being critical, but allowing you to experience it and then reviewing it, you can't go wrong. So I'm going to cheat and steal that like crazy. So show, do, review. It's huge.
Oh, that's genius. I love that. I think I'll steal that as well. Of course, I'll give anybody an attribution. No, I'm just kidding. Favorite interview question. What's your when you're sitting with somebody and you're just trying to kind of see what's there, what's your go-to question?
My go-to question is, that's a tough one. I would say it's, what are your strengths? And then why are they your strengths? Sometimes somebody says, I'm a this. Why is that a strength? Give me examples of what that is. I want to know what you do well. It's interesting because I think even in interviews, people are geared to answer the negatives. And because I never ask weaknesses, I tell them right up, I'm not going to ask your weaknesses because I hate that question. I mean, there's a ton of things I could do better, but I want to know what you do well because I want to hire people that are strong. And when they hear that, it allows me to let them know what our culture is and where we're focused. And people jump. I hear beautiful stories.
I love that. That's a good one. I like my favorite. My go-to is I start off the bit. I lull them into a sense of security with a bunch of easy questions, and then I turn the tables. I say, everyone's misunderstood. I'm misunderstood. In fact, I've a lifetime of being misunderstood. How are you misunderstood?
That's good. I like that. I like that.
And there's this like, oh God, how do I answer that question? And because usually about 5, 6 questions in, oh, tell me a little bit about your college, and then you tell me a little bit about your family. You just kind of lull them in, and I'll slide that in. And they're usually what happens is they give you the honest reaction, people think that I'm shallow or whatever the bit is, and they'll tell you the truth. It's just
Right.
genius. Well, listen, today I'm going to connect you with Joni about Summer Brand Camp, Joni Doolin, who runs TDNTK and People Report. I'll connect y'all and see what, because it's in June, so it might conflict with family activities or summer activities or whatever. But we've got to get you down to this thing. I don't know how or what we got to do to get you down, because it really is your people. Your people are at Summer Brand Camp. We just got to get you
Awesome.
there. Come to Dallas
That
in the
sounds
summer.
great.
It's like hot as Hades. How can, first of all, 30 minutes flew by. It felt like 5 minutes. What's the best way to kind of keep track of you? What's the best way to connect with you, Steve?
On Twitter, probably the best. It's at S Brown, BrownHR. People can check my blog out at Everyday People, which is sbrownhr.com. And I'm probably too many places, William, involved with Sherm incredibly. But people can find me on LinkedIn, Facebook. If they want to connect, I want to connect with them.
Yeah. Awesome. My brother, listen, have a wonderful afternoon. And thanks for everyone listening to a little Drive Through HR. We're going to roll out to a little ZZ Top. Thanks, Steve.
All right.
Bye-bye.